ಸಾವತಭ್ರಕರುಣ ಭಗವನ್ ವಿವೃದ್ಧ ಪ್ರೇಮಸ್ಮಿತೇನ ನಯಮಂಭುರುಹಂ ವಿಜೃಂಭನ್ ಭೂತಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವವಿಜಯಾಯ ಚ ನೋ ವಿಶಾರಂ ಮದ್ವ್ಯಾಗಿರಾಪನಯಥಾತ್ಪುರುಷಃ ಪುರಾಣ.
Saha,
he,
the Lord. Asau,
that.
Adabha,
unlimited.
Karuna,
merciful.
Bhagavan,
the
personality of God. Vivriddha,
excessive.
Prema,
love.
Smitena,
by smiling.
Nayana Ambruham, the lotus eyes. Vijinimbhan, by opening. Uthaya, for flourishing. Vishvavijaya, Vishvavijayaya, for glorifying the cosmic creation. Cha,
as also.
Na,
our.
Vishadam,
dejection.
Madhya,
by sweet.
Gira,
words.
Apanayatat, let him kindly remove. Purusha,
the Supreme.
Purana,
oldest.
Translation. The Lord, who is supreme and is the oldest of all, is unlimitedly merciful. I wish that he may smilingly bestow his benediction upon me by opening his lotus eyes. He can uplift the entire cosmic creation and remove our dejection by kindly speaking his directions. Purport. The Lord is ever increasingly merciful upon the fallen souls of this material world. The whole cosmic manifestation is a chance for all to improve themselves in devotional service to the Lord, and everyone is meant for that purpose. The Lord expands himself into many personalities who are either self-expansions or separated expansions. The personalities of the individual souls are the separated expansions, whereas the self-expansions are the Lord himself. The self-expansions are predominators, and the separated expansions are predominated for reciprocation of transcendental bliss with the supreme form of bliss and knowledge. The liberated souls can join in this blissful reciprocation of predominator and predominated without materially concocted ideas. The typical example of such a transcendental exchange between the predominator and the predominated is the Lord's Rasalila with the gopis. The gopis are predominated expansions of the internal potency, and therefore the Lord's participation in the rasa dance is never to be considered like the mundane relationship of man and woman. It is rather the highest perfectional stage of the exchange of feelings between the Lord and the living entities. The Lord gives the fallen souls the chance for this highest perfection of life. Lord Brahma is entrusted with the management of the complete cosmic show, and therefore he prays that the Lord bestow his blessings upon him so he may execute his purpose. So Brahma here is, he's established himself, you know, his position, that he is the sum total of the creative potency within this world is put within him. But at the same time, as he understands that he himself is not that potency, Right? He is the instrument of that potency. But that potency will be manifest through him. So he's already recognized the Lord is the source of everything. And he has recognized that this is being done through his internal potency. And that he is the form of the manifestation of the internal potency's creation of this world. And so therefore he becomes an instrument. So and then here he's saying that he's hoping that the Lord will bestow his mercy upon him, that he may be able to do this properly. So he mentions here, smilingly bestow his mercy. So that would mean that he's not just, it's out of formality, just simply one is doing, but actually he is pleased with it. The Lord is happy to give his mercy. He likes that. He wants to do that. Right? It's important here. That's why we see that these, the elements within the creation that are most appreciated by the Lord are those elements that are the most appreciative of the personal relationship. The demigods, their prayers generally tend to be very formal. There's rules. Rules are followed. In the following of the rules, there's prosperity. From prosperity, there's happiness. So in the desire for happiness, their intelligence, they're going to the Lord. So that's nice. The Lord hears these prayers. He's happy with them. But more, he's more pleased when it becomes more personal. Or more specific, let's say, in the relationship. Because here he's saying, you may be smilingly, maybe he's happy. And that he may be an instrument. But so that smilingly means that the Lord himself, he will be pleased. Right? It means he's pleased, of course, if we follow these activities given by the Lord. But he as a person is pleased. That's another thing. Right? Does that make any sense? Right? In other words, God has made the rules, you follow the rules, God is pleased. Then there's something you do to please God as a person. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Is something like Paramatman Bhagavan?
Paramatman Bhagavan, basically, yeah. Because the demigods, they actually see Paramatman. That was what was mentioned when Krishna came into the wrestling arena. Then the Yadus, you know, and all the members of the family there, they all saw him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Paramatma. So this element of Paramatma, that's why then at the end, when the demigods, it was time for them to leave, then they, you know, after all the fighting and all this, then they all went back to their positions, their stations in the heavenly planets. You know, there needed to be some way to take them back there, because there was a worry if they're left, they're going to make trouble, right? Because then they're so powerful, they're the Yadavas, no one can defeat them. So then they have to be removed because of that slight little bit of wanting to be the controller and enjoyer, right? They're doing it on behalf of the Lord. Like that, that's fine. That's why they're in the position. They're devotees. They're classified as devotees. But there still is that element of wanting to control and enjoy, and that is itself a problem. Therefore, Krishna had to also, when the pastimes are winding up, remove them also. Right? The eternal associates stayed in Dwarka, so they didn't have to be removed. We don't even hear about them. They just kind of like disappear. Right? But the other ones had to be, some nice arrangement had to be made so that one shot they all go back to the heavenly planets. So here is that we're seeing the Lord either as potencies or the person who is the Lord of those potencies, but still it's the element like Paramatma, because it's localized. It's not the Lord with his devotees. So there's a difference. So this is a good point. Is that the Lord is pleased when we see him as Brahman. He's more pleased when we see him as Paramatma. He's the most pleased when we see him as Bhagavan. Right? Because then you're getting closer to the person. So when you simply appreciate the potencies, how they work, the modes of nature work, all these very technical things, which are an important element of contemplation to remove ourselves from material contemplation, then that's good. That's considered to be, this person's a jnani, this person is intelligent. He's using his intelligence properly. But more important is the one who then sees more directly the person behind the potencies. How the Lord is doing these things through his internal potency. That's more important. But most important is the relationship with the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? How the world works, doesn't work, that's another thing. But the Lord himself, as a person, you're trying to please him. You're doing it through the elements of the material world. You see the difference in these three? It means the devotee uses all these three in their advancement in spiritual life. Our goal is to please the person, Bhagavan. So that's always our meditation. But because of our conditioning, we don't just automatically surrender this moment, right? And just take up that relationship. So what we do is we work for the person, Bhagavan, but through the medium of these elements of appreciating the workings, how he works within this world, right? That way then we can see everything in relationship to Krishna. Otherwise, then how we'll see it in relationship to Krishna, right? We can see everything that we're doing our service to please Krishna, that's nice. But then that means as a person. So as a person, how do you do that? Okay, we're dealing. Okay, I'm doing my service to please Krishna. Okay, good. Now, when I'm doing my service, then of course, because I'm doing the service, then it naturally, in an unspoken way, is the most important service. Right? Unless my confidence is, of course, lowered by some, you know, issues that I have. But if it's not lowered, or it's exaggerated due to some issues that I have, then I will then take it to be the most important, so in my pragmatic application of my service, I will do it by possibly stepping on others' toes. Because, of course, mine's the most important, it's the most practical. So in doing that, then, of course, I'm stepping on other toes for Krishna, right? I'm upsetting other devotees, I'm insulting other devotees, or I'm ignoring other devotees for Krishna, isn't it? Because I'm taking my statement, I'm doing this service for Krishna, you know, it should go to the fullest extent. Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, it should be taken up to this, right? The finest point, that's the chapter shloki. That in everything you do, all time, place, circumstance, it must be in connection with the Lord. So therefore, my bothering the other devotees, upsetting, then that is part of my service, right? Because of course I am the self-appointed generalissimo of finding all the faults in everybody else. You know, that's a side issue, but you know, that's like that. So therefore, if they do get bent out of shape, then of course I have all kinds of nice little pat lines. Also, you know, as with time, of course in the beginning I don't have them. But as I mature in my service, I come up with all kinds of nice little things. You gotta be surrendered, Prabhu, or, you know, a lot of lines like this. And, you know, but it's, if we notice in here, it's always about ourselves, right? So then in this, so how is all this connected to Krishna? In reality? So the mood is good. That one is trying to connect it to Krishna, that is good, right? That is superior. And because if one keeps that in mind, one will get to it, right? If you don't keep it in mind, you won't get to it. So it's kept in mind. But the problem is those moments we're not keeping it in mind. So those moments, then disturbing others, then we might think, well, if I'm acting on the platform of Brahman or Paramatma, that might be a step up from insulting the devotees, right? Because otherwise, the tendency is to think, no, I'm only dealing with the Brahman, the Bhagavan aspect, and that's it, because everything else is lower class. True, but are we of that caliber? Or by our conditioned nature, there might be something there that we might not consider to be perfection. Right? So in dealing with that elements that we're trying to perfect, then we use whatever works. Right? Whatever works. So if we are simply aware of what we're dealing with, we're aware of the dead matter. Right? I'm doing kirtan, I'm thinking of the kartals and how nicely I'm playing the kartals and the beat and all this thing. You know, holy name, okay, that's another thing. I've been practicing it for years, I can chant it without thinking about it. So it goes on. But I'm thinking about the cart dolls and all the things and the clickety-clack. Now, what is all that clickety-clack? That's Bhagavan? No, Bhagavan's the holy name. So what's the cart dolls? What's that sound? Yes, he is the sound in the ether. But now, what is that for? Is that Bhagavan? No, it's Vishwarup. So that means it's potencies. So therefore, we're concentrating on it. Now, if we don't make that connection, then we're thinking about music. But that music is being engaged in the Lord's service, so we get benefit for that. But how much more benefit we would get if we understand that Krishna is the sound of that music, right? Right? Then the hills become alive, right? But otherwise, then, this sound, then that's what we're concentrating on, not the holy name. So then, if we can see this sound in connection to Krishna, as mentioned here, he is the sound, then we get benefit. But this is the Brahman platform. It's a personal Brahman platform, right? You have to understand this. There's varieties of how to look at Brahman. One, the impersonalists look at Brahman as it's all one, which is foolish because obviously it's not. Right? There's so many different potencies. And the devotees see the variety within Brahman. Right? So Brahman's not a bad word. Brahman simply means transcendence. So Krishna is Brahman, the soul is Brahman, spiritual world's Brahman, and for those who understand, the material world's even Brahman, because it's the Lord's energy. So then, here then, we're using the Brahman, meditation to uplift ourselves from simply the sound of music to Krishna as that sound. Right? Does that make any sense? Right? Technical difference on how these things are used in our life? Right? In other words, we're trying to practically show that if we simply say, I only care about Krishna, and that's all, then that's great, as long as you're doing it. So those moments you're doing it, that's the best. Right? But in those moments that you're not doing it, then what benefit are you getting? Well, you can get more by now detaching yourself from the material energy by mechanics. Right? If it comes from the heart, that's the best. But if it doesn't come from the heart, what are you going to use? You have to use mechanics. Right? You meet somebody you like, you don't have to, know what to do. You automatically do something that's pleasing. You don't necessarily like the person, then you have to go through the mechanics of relationship, right? Meet them, Haribol Prabhu, keep the corners up, yeah, like this, say something, oh, he said something, make a little joke there, okay, Haribol Prabhu, and then it just goes, wow, and then move on, right? But so you use the mechanics, right? So those mechanics come from Krishna, that's the best part. Krishna having expanded it as everything means he's also expanded as the mechanics of the material world. So therefore, all these, mechanistic aspects of our personal application of our desires in our daily life can be connected to Krishna through this process. So that means everything you can connect. Right? Does that make sense? That's the point of it. It's something used temporarily. Just like you use a bandage temporarily. That's not your service. Yes, my son, what's your service? Oh, I wear this bandage for Krishna. Like that. Says, oh, really? You got a cut there? No, it's healed for the last 5 years, but, I wear the bandage. It's my service. Great bandage. Huh? Like that. Johnson & Johnson. Like that. So, does that make sense? So, the idea is that one is able to see the use of these things, but at the same time not get caught up in them. That's Brahma's point here. He's praying that I'm going to work with the material energy because that's his desire. Right? He is the mode of passion personified. So that means then creation is his nature. Right? He's been empowered with that total creative energy of the Lord. Right? So the passion is very great. So to not be disturbed by that means he has to apply that passion through the vision of goodness. Right? So that's why I say he may open his lotus eyes. It means when the Lord sees, we see. Right? That's the universal form. Because that's what he's going to deal with. When the Lord opens his eyes, he sees, we see. Right? When he breathes, we breathe. When he has a desire to eat, we have a desire to eat. Right? So only because he does it first, then we have entrance into that, because it's the Lord's potency. Yeah? So having to deal with that, then Brahma wants to be able to deal with it in such a way that he will not become implicated. He will be able to perform the activities in the consciousness and the mode of goodness, or even better, in transcendence, in pure goodness. Then these activities go on. Right? Because one may say, oh, it's mode of passion, you have to be in passion. You don't. We do. So, we cook. Cooking is creation, right? You build something. You make something. You decide to move your furniture around in your house to make it look better. It's all passion, but you do it from the platform of goodness, or better, from devotion. Right. So his point is that I have to deal with these mechanics of the world. Let me deal in such a way I don't forget you. So best is he remembers the person as he is now. He's seeing the Lord of the universe here and all the expansions coming from him. Right? But at least minimum is that you see the potency. Right? You know it's connected to the Lord, but you're only looking at the mechanics of the potency. Right? Paramatma means you're appreciating the Lord's potency and how it works. Right? The other one is you're appreciating how it works, but that's your focus, not the Lord on it. Does that make sense? Lord's connected, but it's more the indirect, more the material energy. And as it goes up to Paramatma, then it's more the Lord. You've got a balance there between the Lord and the mechanics. Then Bhagavan, you just look at the Lord. You don't bother with the mechanics. Right? Mother Jashoda sees the whole cosmic creation. She doesn't see the universe. Right? Arjuna sees the universal form. Right? Mother Jashoda sees the cosmic creation. That means the material and the spiritual. Right? Even greater, more amazing. But she just kind of thinks, wow, what did I eat for breakfast? You know, my head's spinning a bit here. This is strange, you know, like that. So she's not at all impressed by it, because she's only interested in Bhagavan. So it's simply rasa with the Lord. She's already perfect. But for those trying to attain perfection, these other elements are very useful. They should not be neglected because they're seen as lesser. Because it's okay. If you're already liberated, then you can, you know, take my statement with a grain of salt. But if you're not liberated, then they're quite useful. Right? They're quite useful. And then using these, then one can be uplifted. Right? So here, but in doing that, we see is that one is always pushing the point of not getting distracted by the mechanics. Right? But connecting the mechanics to Krishna. So the more you see Krishna in that connection, the better it is, until that becomes overwhelmingly the main point, and the mechanics just drop away. Right? Does that make sense? Not that they're not expert, the mechanics, like that. But it's just, that's not their focus. Right? The focus of the devotees is not on the performance of the activity, it's just the activity being performed to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So that means they're very expert. Right? If Arjuna can be on the battlefield and shoot all his arrows, at the same time do it to please Krishna, that means he has to be very expert at the shooting of arrows. Otherwise, if he has to concentrate on each arrow, each mantra, and that's his main focus, where is there any space for Krishna? Right? So in the beginning, that's how we start. Before we start the activity, this is for Krishna. When it's finished, this is what's for Krishna. But during it, we may not remember Krishna for a nanosecond, because we're so focused on the activity itself. Does that make sense? But the beginning and end is Krishna, therefore it becomes perfect. Right? It's a transcendental sandwich. Right? It's called sampat. That's why the Vedic mantras have Om at the beginning and Om at the end. Then what's in the middle, then is connected with Om. Right? So it works. But as we see, is then there are stages beyond that where in the middle we're also able to remember. Right? Until it comes to the point where that's all we're doing is remembering. And the activity comes automatically. Does that make sense? But that means they're expert. They practiced it. So So that's why the Sahajas lose out, because they think, I'll just have bhava. But the point is in your bhava, what are you doing so extraly for Krishna? Right? Nothing. Right? So, and others, they get right into the technicalities and become very expert in that, but no bhava. Right? They're called smartas. Right? So the devotees use both. But because we're more used to expertise in the material world, focus is there. But its point is Krishna. So then, because we're always thinking of Krishna, that's the goal. Therefore, as we become expert at our activities, Krishna becomes more prominent because we're moving towards Krishna. Right? He becomes the prominence. And then the technicalities aren't so important. Right? They're not the inspiration. Pleasing the person through that is the next. The expert is like, he likes the science. That's what's very tasty. Right? Then, next is, he likes what he can do with the science. Does that make sense? He can get something from there. Then we have, he likes pleasing people through using the science. Does that make sense? Like that. Actually, you could reverse the first two. Like that. In the stage of going to personal, then it works, but if you actually take how it's applied, generally, only because I get something from it, I use the science. Then higher than that is someone who practices the science because the science is nice. Then higher than that is that they're doing it to please somebody. So there we see is the opposites are very similar. The neophyte one is I'm doing it to please myself. The advanced one is I'm doing it to please Krishna. Does that make sense? And in between, that's the basically kind of like the neutral point or the liberated point. Right? You become nishtha, stable, steady. Does that make sense? So that would be what would be an application. So then, Brahma is then wanting to be this instrument for the Lord, assisting the eternal potency to please the Lord. Gaining that is through the Lord's blessings, that when the Lord is pleased, then he'll be able to perform this. So Brahma's praying for that in this verse. Any questions? Questions or comments? Yes?
Some things are the Lord himself, like the Kushagraha is his hair directly. If you only question how many things he is, as an energy, as you say, then it comes from Brahma, but still with the Lord himself, the light of the sun in the
You don't have to reject it all the way, but at the same point is the light of the sun is him, but it's the light of the sun is how, is one of his eyes, and his eyes are very beautiful, and so therefore you think about the eyes, you don't even worry about the sun. You know what I'm saying? It's a natural, seamless flow, because he says, I am that, but these are just, he's only giving an idea, because he is everything. That pillar stands up because it's Krishna. The potency to hold the roof up, that's Krishna. That's Anantadev. Right? The floor to hold us up. Right? The life breath is Krishna, so therefore you can breathe. Right? Everything is there. That the eye is maintained through the blink. That's Krishna. In other words, what anything is there, like in this kartal, it's not the string, it's not the this, it's not the hardness, it's not the shape, it's the sound. Right? So Krishna is the sound of the kartal. Right? Does that make sense? But if we want to take the solidness, then he is the hardness of hardness. You know? Or he is the aesthetics of what's aesthetic. So the idea is that is a point, and it's broad enough that just taking those in your life and remembering those, that will keep one quite busy. But at the same time, is the more you become introspective, then those points between them, like how often do you drink water, or how often like this, how often do you see the ocean, or you know the Himalayas, or you know the Ganga, or you know so. Therefore, then one starts to see it in everything. What makes anything work, right? In other words, you know, you're there and you're doing your job, you have a hammer in one hand, a chisel in another, piece of wood, but that power of the ability to cut in the chisel, that's Krishna, the ability to have that weight, that momentum to move the chisel, that's Krishna, right? You know what I'm saying? He is that life force that is able to move the muscle that hits that. Right? You know what I'm saying? He is the ability in the wood to be carved. Right? If I take a piece of glass and hit it with the chisel, it shatters. You know, I take some jello and hit it with the chisel, it cuts, but then it goes back together again. So that wood can be carved and made into what, that itself is Krishna. So then it starts to be anything you deal with is Krishna. But at the same time is, that's there, but then there's the person that has done that. That's the distinction. That's why Krishna, that's why there's achinta bheda bheda tattva, one and different. Or Krishna says, I've expanded into everything. I am everything. I control everything, but at the same time I'm different from it. Right? And seeing that, how Krishna has entered everything, and also how Krishna is separate from everything he's entered into, that's what one should be seeing at all times, all places, all circumstances. So that you come up to the point of the personality of Godhead. Right? Because he opens it. If we wanted to be logical, we would say in all time, all place, all circumstance, that one should see directly the Lord in everything, and indirectly the Lord in everything. Right? Directly means the person, indirectly means his potencies through it. You know, in other words, the gross manifestation, that's indirect. Right? That living entity should see the Lord. Right? But he doesn't. He starts off with the living entity should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? That's what he's trying to see. That's what's being seen in all times, all places, all circumstances. Through the technique of seeing directly and indirectly. Right? So it's very, these things are important, right? That's the advantage in technical language, is that these things can be brought out in that way, right? Otherwise we may miss the point, you know? Yes?
The thousand angels, Vishnu, there are names, like I said, he is the one behind the smell. Names.
Yeah.
In
other words, right means it's a step, and when you move to the next step, the last ones are left. It's not that there's anything wrong with them, it's just you don't need to, you know, you eat the bitter, then you move on to the spinach. It's not that there's something now wrong with the bitter, right? Ah, get this bitter out of here. No, it's just, it's fine, but it's for the next person, right? So, in the beginning you see the Lord, means we see material energy, that's it. And even that we don't necessarily see much, right? We see something, right? There's some people that see so much, right? There's one, I read about one guy, insured his nose for $1 million, and that was like 20, 30 years ago, right? So now, who knows, $10 million his nose, because he would be the person who smells all the smells for some big fashion house, right? So then, you know, but we don't smell anything, right? You know, it's like, not like that. You know, I think it was Prabhupada was talking about, there was a man in Calcutta, famous, the Sandesh taster, the Sandesh connoisseur, right? One day he's eating Sandesh, and he's telling what shop it came from, what kind of wood it was cooked on, and that the guy who was cooking the Sandesh was smoking a beedi. Like that. And his friends said, no, not possible. Then they went to the shop, asked the guys, what, you know, if they used that, you know, this last Sandesh, who cooked it, you know, what wood it was cooked on, and was he smoking a beedi? And they confirmed it was. So there are people like that, right? You know, so like that. So that's the point, is we see a limited amount of the material energy. But it doesn't matter. Whatever we see, then the idea is then the first step is then seeing Okay, the first step is saying, okay, what I see in the material energy, use it for Krishna. Right? But I'm seeing what is important to me. I don't see the Lord in what I'm using. I use it for the Lord. Therefore, that's the spiritual connection. So that's good. That's a step up. That's where everyone starts. That's karma yoga. Right? Whatever I see, I use for Krishna. But what I'm using, I don't actually see its connection to Krishna. Its connection is my using it in Krishna's service. Next stage, then, is seeing Krishna's potencies in it. So I'm using it for Krishna, and I'm seeing Krishna in the thing as the potency, as mentioned in Gita for the 7th, 10th and 11th chapters, in that way. I see Krishna's potency in it. Right? So then using it, just using it and not seeing it in connection to Krishna, that part's left. So this, but I still am engaging it in the same way. But now this is called jnana yoga. Right? So in here I see this, and the advantage is because I'm seeing potencies. I'm using potencies. I'm not looking at what I'm getting out of it. Well, when I in karma yoga, I could be not looking what I'm getting out, but I see this because I like this. I want this. I can get something from this, but I'll use it for Krishna. Then higher is, I see this because of my conditioned nature, but I engage it for Krishna. Right? In other words, Krishna's first, then I come after. The other one's I'm first, then I give it to Krishna. So the difference between sannyas and renunciation. Both are important, glorious, but still sannyas is higher than the renunciation because there's no connection of yourself in it. Right? Then after the jnana, then we start to see is that it's the Lord's potency and His interaction with His potencies. So there is Paramatma. But it's the material pastimes. Right? So it's the Vishwarup, it's material pastimes, the Lord, He's doing these things as pastimes, the creation, maintenance, and destruction, the Purusha avatars. So it's a step higher. So we're seeing the element, we're seeing the potencies in it, we're seeing the person behind the potencies. It means more obviously. The other one, we know the potency is Krishna, but we're contemplating more the technicality of the potencies. And, keep going back and forth with Krishna. This one is that we're seeing Paramatma and how He's doing. So it's much less on the technicalities. But it's the Lord and the Lord is more prominent. And the activity goes on. Right? So now we're coming into that meditation. It's getting more. So the jnana yoga is starting to come in. Right? Then so this combined now is like your complete form of what we call buddhi yoga. Right, what the Gita is, the combination of karma, jnana, and dhyana, according to one's need, wherever the focus is, that you're seeing the element, you're seeing the potencies of the element, you're seeing the person behind the potencies of the element. Like that, those three. Then, the next natural step is that it's reminded you of the person, and it becomes udipan for rasa. So simply then, you see it, it reminds you of Krishna, and you just think of Krishna. You don't even worry about the thing anymore, the potencies, how they work, this, that. Those technicals aren't important. There's no taste anymore. Because the taste of the personal form and that interaction with that personal form, right? Paramatma is the personal form, so it's nectar. But we're not technically interacting with Him. Right? Basically, you're seeing there's some discussion, but that's as far as the relationship goes. Right? That's the point where the yogis either merge or take up devotional service. You can see the Lord, offer prayers to the Lord, but then you got to do something. You either merge in or become a devotee. Right? So then they move from there to the Bhagavan platform where that's your full situation. And then whatever you see reminds you of Krishna. Right? Difficulty is at that stage it's great for us. We'll get to that stage. But if you want to preach, you have to stay down within buddhi yoga. Because the Madhyama only can make the distinction to tell who to preach to or not to. Because the Uttama, everything's Krishna, and everybody else is devotees of Krishna, and, so what's the need to preach? So it's you understand? So there's a slight, it naturally flows, and one may be like this in one area, another more back. It's not that everything goes up the same. You may be more in one area, another, whatever is your area of expertise, or service, generally that will be the one that progresses more. And then others, like this, but it doesn't matter. The point is progression is there. It's dynamic. It's moving forward. So that's the thing, is all these things are available and open, and they're used. That's why they're mentioned. This is third canto. So we're still dealing with the universal form, but now we're introducing the personal aspect of it. You know, I mean, not to say personal, but the Paramatma aspect. Second canto, we're just trying to get our head around that the Lord, in His potencies, is in everything and in between everything. And therefore, everything you deal with and that you call mundane is actually Krishna. And the mundanity is not the material world, it's you. Your perception of it. Because there is no material world. That's second canto. Third canto now is you're seeing the person behind that, that universal form. Like here in Brahma's prayer. Then slowly sort of move up, and then the pastimes of the Lord with the devotees, the more neophyte, the more like this, till we get to Prahlad. Right? Prahlad, then you're seeing, here's a pure devotee. And then that keeps going until it gets to the 10th canto. Right? Then, very more technical points of using this aspect of jnana yoga, or naishkarmya, to elevate ourselves, given an 11th canto. Right? So that's a furtheration of the last six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Same thing, just a little more technical. Like that. For someone who now will work on this Bhagavad level. Like that. And so like that it progresses. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll end here. Time is up. We'll continue with any questions if anyone wants after 5 minutes. But we'll end the class now. Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki, Sarvaita Bhaktivinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.